James chapter 3. We're going to talk tonight about how to manage your mouth. How to manage your mouth. There's a book written a few years ago called Hung by the Tongue. And then he wrote a sequel called Loose from the Noose. And we don't talk about this real often, but it's something that we need to talk about from time to time, because we need to realize the importance of words. We're going to read the first 12 verses of the book of James in chapter 3. So if you want to go over there with me, as you're turning there, let me remind you that this is the last Wednesday night before Fantastic Wednesdays. What we're going to do starting next week from 6:15 to 6:45, we're going to do an adult Bible study here in the auditorium. Then we're going to take a 15-minute break, and then at 7 o'clock, Fantastic Wednesday begins, and it'll go from 7 to 8. So for those of you who don't have children and want an adult Bible study, we're going to have that in here each Wednesday night. It's going to be 30 minutes. There's not going to be any singing. We're going to start right at 6:15, and we're going to go right to 6:45. And then Nancy, like I said, we'll take the break, and then we'll start with Fantastic Wednesday. If you don't have kids, you're invited to stay and help, because we always need help. We need corralers. You know what I mean? Okay, go with me. Chapter 3, James. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. I got a feeling this is going to be a tail kicker a little bit. Okay? Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I mean, he was kicking. He's kicking, isn't he? Whoo! For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Are you ready for this one? With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. Okay. So we're going to talk tonight about how to manage your mouth. I mean, after reading that, don't you think we probably need to take the words of our mouth pretty seriously? Now, there's two sides of this tongue issue. There's the negative side and there's the positive side. But before we can get in with the positive side, we have to deal with the negative side. Because you can't be both ways. If you're going to make your tongue work for you, first of all, you got to get it stop working against you. And, you know, really the bottom line to all of this whole thing is going to be learning how to walk in love. If we'll get the love walk down, the tongue part will come in line. You know, it basically says that we're not capable of taming our own tongue. But thank God, being new creatures in Christ, learning to live out of our spirit man rather than out of our soulish man. Let's define that for just a minute. What is the soul? It's the way we think, our mind, how we choose, our will, and how we feel, our emotions. Have you ever spoke out of your emotions? What is anger? It's an emotion. Does it cause you to speak sometimes? How about fear? Do you ever speak out of fear? Do you ever speak words of fear? You know, that's usually an emotional response. So if we can learn to live out of our spirits rather than out of our soul, we can learn how to bridle our tongue. Look at verse 2. It says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect, a perfect man, and able to keep his whole body in check." Do we have any perfect people here tonight besides David Candler? That's what his wife said. Said he was perfect. No, she didn't say that, did she? That's what he said. He said he's perfect. Okay. But don't we have trouble with the tongue? I do. Sometimes I do. And let's use another word besides perfect. Mature. Mature. Okay? One of the earmarks of a mature Christian is that he has got his tongue under control. And that only comes through spiritual growth. It doesn't come through willpower. It doesn't come through any other means. It has to be a God thing. If it's not a God thing, it's not going to work. Okay, so why must I watch what I say? I'm going to give you three reasons. Number one, my tongue directs where I go. You follow your tongue. You follow your tongue. Verse 3 says, "We put bits in the mouths of horses, and we can turn the whole animal." Have you ever wrestled with a horse? I used to raise horses, and I broke them to ride. And I bought this horse one time, and he was not bridle broken. And I didn't have a snatch chain, so I had this bridle on him, and I was going to lead him out and work with him. And so I led him out of the stall, and all of a sudden he broke. And I had a bridle on him, and I had a rope on him. And all of a sudden he just went wild. He backed through a fence. He drug me through a fence. I could not control him. He was much too strong. So I went and got a chain, a snatch chain. What you do is you thread this chain underneath his jaw like that and through the bridle. And when he started that, I snatched that chain and I controlled him. I controlled him. It's like a bit. And I controlled him with that bit. He weighed about 1,200 pounds. I weighed, well, a whole lot less than that. But I couldn't control him. And this is kind of a picture that it gives that's the way it is with the tongue. There's no natural way that we can control the tongue. And, you know, it's like this wild horse. And when we learn how to do that, we can turn the whole animal. So, but the tongue directs where we go. Then it talks about ships. It says, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So you follow your tongue. You follow your tongue. Have you ever noticed that you usually say what you're going to do before you do it? Have you ever noticed that? Well, I believe I'll go to church tonight. I don't believe I'll go to church tonight. I believe I'll go shopping, or I believe I'm going to go get something to eat. A lot of times we say and we follow our tongue. And sometimes we subconsciously, no, not sometimes, all the time we subconsciously follow the words of our mouth. And I've often said if we would carry around a recorder and listen to the way that we talk, we would change the way that we talk. Because if you want to know where a person is going, what direction in their life they're going, listen to them talk. The tongue is the key. And the reason that is because the tongue reveals the heart. The tongue reveals the heart. Now, you can lie, and that doesn't reveal your heart, but it's a lie. Well, it does reveal your heart. It means you're a liar. But my tongue directs where I go. You don't like where you're going? Change what you're saying. You know, there's been a lot of criticism of the faith message, and I understand why some of it has been criticized, but there's some vital truths in the faith message. And faith has to do with saying what God says. Learn to speak what God says. And this is one of the big keys. If you don't like where you're going, quit saying what you see. Okay? Quit saying what you have. Because if you're always saying what you have, that's what you're always going to have. You know what? I'm so dumb. I don't believe I'll ever amount to anything. You know what you're going to do? You're going to follow your tongue. You're going to follow your tongue. It does something to your heart. It does something to your mind. It does something to your will. There are scientific studies that talks about the power of the tongue to direct our lives. Caroline Leaf has done a lot of things about the brain and the tongue and all of those kind of things. So the first reason that we need to watch what we say is because it directs where we go. The second thing is that my tongue can destroy what I have. My tongue can destroy what I have. Notice verse 5. It says, "Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire." You know what it takes to start a forest fire? Somebody flick out a cigarette. Somebody, just a small little fire can set the whole forest on fire and it can burn down. And that says that's the way it is with the tongue. It can set on fire your whole life. It can ignite your passion. It can ignite so many different things in your life. It can destroy everything about you. Now, by the same token, let's flip it around and look at it on the other side. It can also heal you. It can bring wholeness to your life. When we learn to say what God says, it can bring wholeness to our life. Paige is nodding at me, her head. She went through some physical stuff. How many years ago has that been? Long ago? 5 or 6 years ago? Have you been here that long? Wow. She's getting old. Old married woman now. And she come to me one day. She just crying. She hurt all the time. And I encouraged her to go to the Bible and find healing scriptures and start saying what God said and not say where you were, but begin to say what God said. And you know, she went and found scriptures and you put them up on your refrigerator and your mirrors, and she'd go around and she'd say what God said. And over the period of about a year, she's completely well from all of that stuff that she was going through. And, you know, you can get so, sometimes it's what you go through in life. Sometimes it's the circumstances and situations of life that just beat you up and destroy you, and you get depressed, and then you begin to lend your mouth to that kind of stuff, and you just destroy everything in your life with your tongue. But you can, by the same token, you can turn that around and begin to say what God says, and you can see healing and wholeness and wellness to come into your life. It goes on in verse 6. It says, it sets the whole course of this life on fire and is set, it is itself set on fire by hell. Now, did God make it that way? Did God make, you know, the tongue to be just set on fire by hell? No. That happened when man fell in the Garden of Eden. When sin destroyed the relationship that man and God had together, that was a very destructive thing in his own heart. See, if you go back and you look at Genesis, where God is talking about creation, what did God use to create the world? Everything that we see now is a product of words. God said, let there be light. God saw that it was good. And God said, I think there's 6 or 7 times in the Genesis it says, and God said. And it says that, and I'm not trying to get into occult stuff here, but we're made in the likeness and the image of God. Now, we don't create things, but guess what? We affect our environment with the words of our mouth. Speaking, and I'm not talking about crazy stuff. I'm talking about saying what God says. So, we can turn this thing around and say what God says and bring healing and wholeness in our life. It says in Proverbs 21:23, it said, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. Just watch what you say and you stay out of trouble. I had a friend one time. He and I went to see a minister that we had been introduced to, and he was sitting there talking to him. He was telling him all about his trouble. And finally, the guy stopped and he says, you know what? Your biggest problem is about 2 inches below your nose. He said, your mouth is your biggest problem. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about things that are the circumstance, what we see, what we perceive, what we perceive to be true and what we see perceive to be real. And a lot of times what we need to do is use the eye of faith and perceive what God says and say what God says. You know what? When God spoke the world into existence, He spoke it before He saw it. Now, He saw it in here, but He spoke it and then He saw it. And that's kind of how faith works. We see it in here through the Word as we release our faith. And this is how you get saved, for the Bible says, for whosoever shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus, okay, shall believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You call Jesus Lord before he becomes Lord. You say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. I call you Lord. And guess what? He becomes Lord. That's how faith works. And that's how this system is designed. And that's how we learn to control the tongue. It goes on and says, all kinds of animals have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It does not have to be, but our natural tongue is. Have you ever noticed that our natural inclination is to be negative? Isn't it? Mine is. I'm not talking about your new nature. I'm not talking about your renewed mind. I'm just talking about you, your old carnal self. We tend to think the worst, speak the worst. I mean, we just tend to be negative. And listen, you have to learn to be positive. You have to work on being positive. Does anybody like to be around negative people? I mean, do you like to be around negativity all the time? But you know, there's something about being positive that is contagious. Have you ever heard Zig Ziglar speak? He's a motivational speaker. When he gets done, you believe you can do anything. You believe you could sell, you know, ice to Eskimos. I mean, He is such positive and motivational. And, you know, John Maxwell is another guy like that. He is so positive, and there's a lot of people. But they had to train themselves to be positive. They had to see it from God's perspective. And when we work on being positive, now there's natural effects to that, but listen, there's also supernatural effects to that. There's going to be some things that's only going to be done by the power of God. And you know how the power of God is released in the earth? It's released through the heart and the mouths of men. Look at the book of Acts. Look at the miracles that took place. I think of the man at the gate beautiful. And, you know, he was sitting there begging alms. And, you know, Peter goes by and you know, he looked on him and he's expecting to receive something. And Peter says, you know what? Silver and gold have I none. I left it at the house. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The Bible says he stood up and his ankle bones received strength and he went walking and leaping and praising God. It was the miraculous power of God that was released through the words of Peter. He said, in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, part of the Great Commission is that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Isn't that part of it? Well, that cannot happen in the natural. It happens in the supernatural. Now, I got news for you. I believe God wants to do some supernatural things too. As well as, you know, being positive in the natural, I believe he wants to do some supernatural things also. Okay, number three. Why do I need to watch my words? Because my tongue displays who I am. My tongue displays who I am. You can be around a person 2 minutes and listen to them talk, and you know who they are. When they're not guarding their mouth, whatever's in there in abundance is going to come out. Do you know it? That's just, we say what we're full of. But be careful what you're full of, okay? But whatever in your heart in abundance is what's going to come out your mouth, okay? I believe I said that right the second time. Oh. Let me ask you a question. Are the words of your mouth consistent? See, it says in verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Let me ask you a question. Now think deep. When you're praising God with your mouth and you're cursing man with your mouth, are you really praising God? Are you really praising God? If you're cursing man who's made in the similitude of God and you're over here saying, praise God, praise God. And you're over here saying, well, you know, I don't like Chris. He's a jerk. He just blabs all the time. I just can't stand. But what am I? Can I praise God and talk about Chris that way? Hey, the answer is no. Everybody say no. And when we criticize people, guess what? Our praise means nothing. Do we ever do that? Yes, we do. See, your tongue displays your heart. Your tongue displays your heart. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear figs, or olives, or grapevine bear figs? The answer is no. You can't bless God and curse man. If you'll bless man, you can bless God. Okay, here's the problem. If you got a problem with your tongue, it's much more serious than you think. You have a heart problem. You really do have a heart problem. Most conflict goes back to a heart problem. Most of the negative things in our life goes back to a heart problem. It goes back to your very core It goes back to between you and God. Okay? So, you have a heart problem. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person with a filthy tongue has an impure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. See, your tongue reveals your heart. Okay. Matthew 15, 18 and 19 says this, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." See, they were talking about eating stuff. Jesus said, it's not what goes in you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you. "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies." Where do all of these things begin? They begin in the heart. Where does adultery begin? It begins in the heart. It goes to the mind. Then it goes to the body. Everything begins from the inside and it goes to the outside. How do we release those things? We release them through the words of our mouth. So you can hear a person talk and see what's in their heart. Okay, so what's the solution? Three things. Number one, get a new heart. Get a new heart. Guess what? If you're not born again, you got to get a new heart. If you are born again, guess what you need to do? You need to repent. Because negative attitudes, negative words are sinful. And you need to treat it that way. When you find yourself speaking against people, when you find yourself being negative, treat it for what it is, sin. And we have a tendency as Americans to be very opinionated about stuff. We freely criticize. Let me tell you what we freely criticize. We freely criticize people who are in authority, including our president. What does the Bible tell us to do about our leaders? To pray for them. What do we do? Well, Obama and his mama. I tell you what, you know, for and out for him. You know, you can have an opinion about that. You can be politically involved, but we need to be careful about speaking evil against our leaders, people in authority. Let me tell you a little story. I was raised, my second church, not my Methodist church, but my first church, my first full gospel church that I was a member of. There was a family in that church, and they had two children, and they were very gossipy. They talked about the leadership of the church. They were down on the preacher. They were always criticizing. And they did this in front of their children. And let me tell you what it did to their children. It destroyed them spiritually. One of those kids today is, he has had just a history of drug and alcohol problems. But what did he hear coming out of his mom and dad's mouth? Cursing. Not profanity, because, these are good people, okay? Good people. Upstanding citizens. Honest people. But they were negative. They criticized the church. They criticized, and their kids have trouble staying in church. I wonder why. Because the words of their mouth destroyed the hearts of their kids. And if you don't think that your words are important, your words can keep people out of heaven. You know, if you have conflict with somebody, you need to go to that person and resolve that conflict. You don't need to be talking all around. And I'm not saying this because gossip's going on, because if it is, I don't know it. But this is just good preventative medicine here. You need to be careful about going around and yip, and talking about leadership and talking about, you know, that church over there, I'll tell you what. What if somebody who is hungry for God hears you talking like that and they think, dear God, I was thinking about going and trying that church out, but I'm not going now. In fact, I'm just going to forget it. If that's the way Christians, I'm just forgetting it. I didn't think they was for real anyway. You may keep that person out of heaven by your cursing. Just food for thought. So guess what? You either need to get a new heart or you need to repent about the words of your mouth. Number two, set a guard on your mouth. Now this is hard. I'm just going to be real with you. This is really hard. This takes a long time to get under control. It takes God helping you. And this is one of the reasons that we encourage you to spend time in the Word and learn to say what God said. You know, most people don't care about your opinion anyway. You're the only one that really cares a whole lot about your opinion. I'm squirming. I'm under conviction. No. Why'd I have to say all the hard stuff? Okay, so set a guard over your mouth. It's Psalms 141:3 says, set a guard over my mouth. O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. You're going to have to get God to help you with this. Invite the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to you. Pray a prayer and say, God, you got to help me with this. Help me guard my mouth. When I say something wrong, convict me. And let me tell you something else you ought to do. You ready for this one? This is harder than asking God to help you. When you sin with your mouth, go to the person and tell them. And ask their forgiveness. Quiet. Have you ever had to do that? I remember when I was living in South Arkansas, I was pastoring a little church down there. And I had to work because the church couldn't pay me. Now, I got paid 80% of tithes and offerings. And I think my biggest paycheck was $399 for a month. So I had to work and support my family. We had three kids, little kids. I had to support my family. But I remember that we had this, one of our bosses was very prejudiced. He didn't like black people. And I worked, one of the ladies that worked in the office was African American. And he had spouted off one time, and I was down in the office, and I said, did you know what CL said? And I repeated what he said in front of that lady. And I saw immediately what it did to her. And I went on working that day, and the Holy Spirit just smacked me around because I had sinned with my mouth. I had repeated something with my mouth and it was true what he said. I mean, he didn't like black people, but I repeated it. And I took his words, and it's just almost as bad as if he had said it, I mean, to her. But I repeated his words, and I partook of his sin. And I had to go back, and I had to, in front of the people that I said it in front of, I had to go back and apologize. I had to humble myself and do that. And you know what? If you'll do that, if you mess up with your mouth, if you'll go back and make it right with the people that you did that in front of, you won't do that very often because that's embarrassing. That is really embarrassing. So pray about this. Lord, help me set a guard over my mouth. I don't want to offend with my tongue. Number three, think before
you speak.
Oh. You mean Christians have to think? James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We're fast to get mad, quick to speak, and slow to listen. In fact, we don't listen at all. We're thinking about what we're going to say next. But it says, you know what? Be slow to speak. Hear something before you form an opinion. Listen before you open your blab mouth and sin with your tongue. Isn't that hard? Well, I got an opinion. Yeah, you got some other stuff too, and it stinks too. Just like opinions do. So, be quick. Quick to hear. Slow to speak. And slow to become angry. If you get mad, keep your mouth shut. When you're mad, shut up. Bite your tongue. That's why God gave you uppers and lowers. You can clamp that tongue down. You bite a hole through it. But a lot of times we engage the mouth and reveal the heart. We need God to change our hearts. What did it say? If a man does not offend with his tongue, he is a mature believer. He is a perfect man. And he's able to control his whole life. If you'll learn to control your tongue with the help of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You would be amazed at how your life would turn around. Sometimes I'll be out in public and say something. I think, man, I wish I hadn't said that. That sounded so stupid. Or I've let something go by, and then in my morning time when I'm meditating and talking to the Lord, and that comes to my mind, and then I feel the conviction. You didn't do that right. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you in this deal. So what do we need to do? We need to open our hearts, and we need to invite the Lord to help us with our mouth, because He is the only one that can tame it. And if you'll put His word in your mouth, guess what? You won't have time to speak all this other stuff. Marriages could be saved. People could come into the kingdom. People wouldn't be repelled from the kingdom. We wouldn't hurt one another as brothers and sisters in Christ if we would be diligent and let the Lord do this in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, as Brian Houston says, what do you think? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word tonight. Thank You for James that brought this revelation to us. And Lord God, we just open our hearts to You, and we ask You to help us with this tongue problem. Lord, we can be so arrogant in our hearts, and we can be so deceitful in our hearts and our mouths. Would You bring an awareness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to bring conviction to us when we do this? Set a guard on our lips, Lord, because we desire, Lord, to honor You, and we desire to represent You in this earth. We thank You for it tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You happy to be here tonight still? All right. Go in peace.